You're listening to a podcast on
the Geeky Dad Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you ever wonder what would happen if, well, if...
If you give a dad a podcast.
Hello, all my beautiful people.
Mom, I'm not going to college like we planned. I'm going to take a couple years off. I just gave all my college money to this professional wrestling promoter, and I'm going to be a big superstar one day.
I'm a human and I'm a chiropractor.
I wasn't about to call you dad, so.
I'm what you call a nerd.
In the Manos Chronicles, the new web series that I'm working on.
We inadvertently made that kid cry. We didn't mean to.
I mean to.
People get really mad at those videos for some reason. Like, it triggers
really?
Certain people. Yeah.
First tryout, made the team, made starting position. I was right guard for a little while.
Hey, Jared, that swerve I was going to tell you about, here it is.
It's going to be from a nerdy dad's point of view.
You're starstruck. It's not a big deal, man.
I am being starstruck.
I made a really good career out of being able to bump, sell, and I had a punch me face.
That's why they call it If You Give a Dad a Podcast.
Exactly. Available everywhere podcasts are found.
When the kids are asleep, that's when Dad has time to play. Welcome to the Geeky Dad After Dark.
All right, I'm here today with Corey DLG. Now, Corey, you have a book that you put out on Gumroad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did you decide to do Gumroad?
So, it's kind of a bit of an experiment. This project was kickstarted.
Uh-huh.
And I've already delivered all the digital rewards. But while I'm waiting for the print rewards to come in, which will take a little while, I wanted to try something and keep growing the reader base, kind of taking advantage of this opportunity. And so I didn't want to sell it again because I didn't know if that would be fair to the people who haven't gotten their Kickstarter rewards. But I did want to at least give it out to people who wanted to read it in a format that I had already given to the Kickstarters who backed that particular format. So the digital formats had already gone out, and so I thought this would be kind of a way to respect the Kickstarter process while also kind of growing. Listen, the trick is, when they don't know who you are, you just want them to read the book, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so the easiest way to do that is to say, listen, pay whatever you want. Here's 4 issues of Another Day at the Office. The elevator pitch is that it's a comedy about a cop in a city full of superheroes. And if any of that sounds interesting, if the cover looks good, download it and try it out. And if you like it, then next time I let you know I'm doing something, maybe you'll come back and give me another chance. And that's really all we're looking for as writers, right? Is
the
next opportunity.
Yeah. Now the covers are really striking. I like the cover. But the cover art is different from the art inside the book. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So the cover artist is a great guy named Taylor, Taylor A on Twitter. And he doesn't have when I talked with him, I really love his art style, but he's more of a fantasy artist and he didn't really want to do any kind of steady work on this project. He said, no, that's not really my thing, which is great, which is fine. But I loved his style, and so I had him do the covers.
Yeah, I mean, he—you would think that he was a you know, natural at it because it was pretty good, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think they're gorgeous covers. I love them.
Yeah. And I see, like, so many issues have different artists.
Yeah, it was definitely a journey. So the first issue was done a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it was done as a one-issue kind of trying to break into comics. And I thought I would shop it around. I thought somebody would sign me and I'd be famous right away and done with it. And
so how many years ago was that?
Probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And it just never, COVID got in the way and lots of other stuff. And it just kind of, it was a good starting out point. We did okay in local print runs, but it never got any kind of real traction nationally or anything. So I said, okay. And then I had an idea for a 3-issue miniseries and I said, okay, well, let's come back and let's do something else. And so the first issue, Dan Garcia is great. There was a lot of scheduling issues. And so when it came time to do issues 2 and 3, I got with Miguel and he's just been a lot. It's just been a lot of, every process is different when you, depending on who you work with. And this process has fit a lot better for me and for him.
Right. So is this your first, comic book story that you ever worked on, or have you done some stuff before?
There's another project that's out called DMA. And basically I was going back and forth. I did the first issue of this and then I had the idea for DMA and I got really excited about it. So I did the first issue for that. And then right around the time when I was done printing it and getting it into stores and doing all that, I turned around and came back to this. So we did a Kickstarter in November for DMA issue 3. And that's under production right now. The artist Ulysses is just destroying it. It looks amazing.
What does DMA stand for?
It stands for Department of Metahuman Affairs. It's very different in concepts. Another Day at the Office is a comedy about a cop who just... I enjoy sort of the darker humor of the world when, like, the world kind of is picking on you a little bit and it's sort of funny. Mm-hmm. And so that is very much the story of Detective Marcus Shightly in Another Day at the Office. The world pretty much enjoys kind of kicking him a little bit. And then the DMA is about kind of like big superhero-y stuff. What happens when the government has to respond because your world's Avengers or Justice League, they get killed stopping a bank robbery.
Okay. Yeah.
And so it's they're set in the same world, but it is very different corners of it and very different stories.
Okay. So you're creating your little corner of your universe right now, right?
Yeah, it was kind of unintentional, but yeah. As Edmund was like, man, I'm going to kill some people off in the first 5 or 6 pages. And I was like, it'd be kind of funny if they were some of the same guys that are in the other book. And I was like, yeah, that would be, because there's not a lot of funny stuff in DMA, but there's a lot of funny stuff in Another Day. And so I thought, oh, it'd be kind of funny to kind of cross them over because they're so different.
Right.
It would be like if the Boys and like your Saturday morning Avengers cartoon crossed over. Like they're not not the same at all.
Wow, that's a combination there. Yeah,
I said let's do something like that. Let's so there's a little bit of a leakage over, and so from that now people are kind of like, oh yeah, you've got your own little universe. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I do. I suppose.
Yeah. So have you tried to shop it around to any publishers?
No. I haven't really wanted to say this publicly, but I don't know if how we do things right now is the best way to keep doing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at a guy like Tyler Forrest Martin, who does Antagonists, which is a great black family superhero story.
Yes, yes. I think they just got option for Netflix, I think.
It did, and it's not published with any of the publishing companies. So I don't even think it's Diamond. It's Godhood Comics. It's his own bit, and he does it himself. If you look at a guy like Mike Tenner, who does Bad Bug, you know, they're just – or if you look at Pat Sheed, who does Smoke Weed to the Future on Kickstarter. I think it just funded probably last month or whatever. There's other ways to do it where you never even have to get into this – weird singing for your supper kind of situation. that a lot of these other guys are in. And I don't know if it's a better way. I think it's a more interactive and direct way, though. Like, I think if I go, like, let's say, I don't know, Scout Comics, Red 5, one of them was like, hey, we want to do another day at the office. I mean, I would consider it, but, like, what's that process look like? How long is it? What's the journey going to be like? Right. You know, how much am I going to – I'm still going to be the one who has to sell it personally. How much am I going to get?
Yeah, you know, you gotta share something with them or something, right? Yeah,
exactly. You know, I don't want to be selfish, but if I make a book and I'm calling all the stores and talking to them, if I'm going to stores and doing signings, if I'm giving up my time and my energy, how much of that am I getting back out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to build goodwill, and it is important to have stores to want to support you, but, you know, the stores, they don't necessarily go out of their way to support people who they don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what the best model is right now. We're in kind of an interesting state of flux in the industry where a lot of different things can work. And so I think I'm just kind of the mindset right now that I don't know that I want to do something unless it just makes sense. It has to make sense for me first before I can even say, okay, yeah, it'd be really cool to be published by one of these bigger guys. Because it might be, but if they don't, if they don't work for me, if I have to do all the work, then maybe it's not worth it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got some stuff published before, and, you know, they don't do any of the marketing. I got to do all that stuff myself and push the book out myself because they don't have a budget to do that. And they want you to do it. You do all the work, and I'm only getting a percentage of the book.
Yeah.
A tiny percentage. So, yeah.
All of a sudden, it's a weird sell. Like, there was a time when Marvel was advertising everything and DC was advertising everything. They were telling people, hey, man, we got this coming out and that coming out. And now they kind of tell you when the big events happen and they tell you, when, like, they're changing creative teams.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of it. And you're right. Like, the small publishers publishing the book, they sort of feel like they've done their job. And I don't know. There's got to be a better way to do this. And I almost feel like we should just go the influencer route, right? Like, just, all right, let me get 30,000, 40,000 people who just follow me.
Right.
Let me just do it all myself.
What you're kind of doing, like leaving this out there on Gumroad.
That is the goal. Like, I want to build this up. I want to get, I'm calling it the quest for 1,000 readers. If I have 1,000 readers who at least will read my emails, and every time I pitch a project to them, will at least consider it. If you look at most Kickstarters, it's about 200, 250 people that bring home a successful Kickstarter. If you get 250 people funding your Kickstarter, you normally you've had a pretty successful Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So if I've got an audience of 1,000 people who are at least interested in what I do, and maybe not every project hits every one of them, but I mean, shoot, even if you get 40%, if 400 people pick up my next Kickstarter because they like the first one that I just gave them and they enjoy my pitch for the next one, now I'm in comfortable water where I don't need a Scout or a Red 5. Like, I've passed that level at that point.
Right, yeah. And some indie publishers, they can barely make like 1,000 readers, you know.
What, and you see, you know, who was it that just went under because they just filed for bankruptcy because they owe a bunch of artists and all that. Like, you just don't want to get in those situations.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every couple of months another publisher is going down anyhow.
So, yeah, if you can do a Kickstarter, like, ultimately my goal is if I could every month be doing a project – and there's 300 to 500 people every month who are going, yeah, that's a good one. I'm glad I backed that. I don't know that I would ever even. It would be great. You know, like, I'd be happy with that.
So let's go back to like, how did your love for comics start?
For me, it's a cheesy cheat answer because I have an older cousin, and when we were little, he was sick. He had leukemia, and he was due chemotherapy. And when you're doing chemotherapy, reading can be hard. And so he was at the age where you're supposed to be reading and doing all of that, but he wound up developing dyslexia from all of it and just having trouble with all that. And so comic books were easier to read. So comic books became just commonplace everywhere. My grandma's house, my aunt's house, my house. There were just comic books always around. And I'm old, so it's 1983 is when I was born. So by 89, 90, the comic books that are coming out are just these awesome, the Chris Claremont X-Men run.
Right,
The Dark Knight Returns. Like, it's just this cool moment in comic books is right exactly when I start reading, when I start getting into comic books. So I grew up in, like, the moments that we talk about now where, like, there was just a documentary about Image comic books, like, 2 years ago. And I was like, I remember all of this. Like, I was at a store for a signing. Like, I remember this. All that stuff happened, you know, in my moment. So for me, it's just, for as long as I even remember looking at any kind of pop culture, it was comic
I think that's
books.
The problem now with comics, like mainstream comics right now, because right now, I don't think anything is as good as what they used to be, you know.
I think that's nostalgia talking, because I don't know. When I go back and read them, like, okay, I love Chris Claremont's X-Men. But when I go back and read
they're trying to, like, cater to all of movies and trying to turn the comics into the movies, you know.
I think sometimes they are, like, visually and stuff. X-Men, you know, they really kind of did, but then they also did something really weird. So when the X-Men movies came out, they made the characters look like the movies.
Right.
But the writer they picked was Grant Morrison. Think about that. Grant Morrison's like the craziest.
I mean, I dig that run, but towards the end, it just got way too crazy.
Oh, we got like Grant Morrison's like a cool substitute teacher, right? Like, it works, but not for too long. Like,
yeah. The first couple of issues were really stellar, but then towards the end, it just went way out there.
Also, it's got to be really weird to, like, edit Grant Morrison, right?
Right.
Like, if you're the editor in charge, it's got to be really hard to be like, hey, Grant, like, it was crazy cool in the beginning, but now it's crazy weird. I don't know that we want to do this. And he's like, no, it's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Like, you almost have to trust him that he knows better than you because it is so out there sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I think sometimes they do. Like, they change the way Black Adam looks in the comic books right now, that he looks a little bit more like The Rock.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a mistake. The Rock has only been in movies that make $100 million, you know. Right. I think the bigger mistake mainstream comics has made here lately, I don't think it has anything to do with the stories. I think some of the stories are great and some of the stories are bad. That's always the case. I think the bigger problem is that before COVID, they were content to let Diamond just strangle.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm Marvel Comics, if I'm Warner Brothers and I own DC Comics, I think every week I would have been asking Diamond, like, hey, what are you doing to push my sales? Like, what are you doing to get me in more places? What are you doing to put me – and not to expect small stores in Topeka, Kansas to buy more copies, but to put more Marvel Comics, more DC Comics in places that they hadn't been. Like, movie theaters have little rooms set aside for birthdays.
Right.
How come why isn't there a spinner rack of comics just, like, sitting in there?
Right.
Like, there's just something –
Well, you know, what I've seen now is anytime there's a big comic book movie that comes out, well, they do it where I am. The local comic shop sets up a little booth right in the movie theater. Yeah.
That's – and I bet they put a bunch of books that are right based on that movie. They do. That's brilliant. They should do that because there's somebody walking out of that movie theater going, hey, man, Ant-Man's kind of cool. Like, what else is Ant-Man in?
Mm-hmm.
And someone, there should be somebody there who meets that expectation. The stupid part is that for the most people don't do that. I've been going to comic book movies my whole life, and I've never once walked out and seen a pop-up store. And there should be one. There should be one every time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what needs to happen. And what's happening is the stores are the ones doing it when it happens. It's not Diamond doing it.
Yeah, which
is dumb. Diamond should be reaching out to every movie theater and going, hey, I'm going to give you one of those cardboard cutouts that sits next to the movie cardboard cutout.
Right, yeah.
You could sell Ant-Man trades all day long.
Right, and, you know, I always thought, like, you know how McDonald's has, like, movie tie-ins with Happy Meals? Yeah. Why don't they do that in the movie theater when you buy, like a combo? You get, like, a special, like, mini comic or something, you know?
Remember, so this was a million years ago, Pizza Hut did that.
Yeah.
I remember I would get the little book, and I would get the little star on the book for reading. Every time I read a book, I'd get a little star on my little book.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had 10 stars, I could go to Pizza Hut and get a free personal pan pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And for, like, 2 years, they would give you an X-Men comic with it.
Right.
And then if you all 5 X-Men comics, you could mail something in, and they sent me a VHS of, like, the story of the X-Men or something stupid. I don't even remember what it was now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we were all over it. How come at Toys R Us there wasn't, or there isn't now, right next to the Marvel Legends? Why aren't the Marvel Legends coming with the comic book? You
know, I know.
Any questions, but and even
well, actually, I've seen now that the toys, some of the Marvel toys, they come with little comics in it now.
The DC ones are doing that. McFarlane Page Punchers are, and I think that's smart. I think that's really smart. And if they don't want to give out a comic book, there should be a digital code. Type this into your iPad.
That's an even better idea. It'll save you some printing money.
I remember going to a comic book convention a million years ago in Dallas, and TBS had just made The Librarian, the very, 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 very first one.
Right.
And they were handing out flash drives with the graphic novel on it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I remember being blown away by that because this is like 2003.
Right.
So flash drives aren't even everywhere. But the idea that they're handing out a $30 graphic novel just on a flash drive for free as a movie promotion changed the way I thought about what they could do to promote comic books.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, like, and right now, like, American comics are not selling as much as manga. Manga is outselling them by 100% right now.
And I think the reason why. My little brother's a diehard manga guy. And the stories are just as complicated.
Right.
But I think the reason why is because it's easy to read them in order.
Mm-hmm. And it's not as much history, too.
It's not the history part, because there's a chapter one somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they just start. DC and Marvel have done themselves the disfavor of starting over their continuity so many times. If someone asked you today, I want to read an Avengers story, you can give them individual stories. But if somebody came to you today and said, I'm going to read the Avengers manga, you couldn't do it because there's no chapter one, chapter two, chapter three.
Yeah.
The closest you could do with that is like Invincible or Walking Dead. And by the way, those guys outperform the mainstream comics.
Yeah.
Because a long form, in order story that you could read from start to finish. And they're always available. Always.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Because people like stories. I don't think the mangas outsell them. There's nothing about the mangas that's inherently that American comic books don't do. Look at Chainsaw Man. Look at My Hero Academia. Look at all. There's nothing in those that American comic books don't do. Spawn and Chainsaw Man are very similar stories.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is there's not a – I can't just read Spawn from one to finish.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the bigger issue. I think American comic books have outsmarted themselves in the way that they chronological and market their trades and their order of story.
Yeah. And I don't know if they will be able to fix that problem. I don't think so.
No, because think about the thing that really drove individual comic book sales for a long time was the summer crossovers.
Yeah.
So if you're reading an Avengers story and all of a sudden in the middle of it, Onslaught shows up, how do you do that?
Yeah.
How much X-Men story do you put in it? It's a mess.
Too many crossovers, so it gets a little daunting.
They do one every year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to collect like 100 comics just to understand one story.
Yeah, I'm reading the Avengers story. I don't want to have to read Age of Apocalypse and the arrival of Bishop and everything else just so I can get the Onslaught story. So that then right. I can go read Heroes Reborn. So then I can read Heroes Return and get back to my Avenger story. Like, that's crazy.
Exactly. I remember I started reading comics when, like, the Infinity Gauntlet story came out.
Love and, that story.
But they had so many tie-ins.
Oh, yeah.
It's like almost every comic was a tie-in.
Yeah. So it's really impossible to even go, like, where do you start? And then once you start, like, what happens next? It's impossible.
But, you know, you don't even need those to even understand the story.
No. And when you're buying the monthly stuff, it's smart. Like, yeah. when you're keeping up in real time, it's smart because it means, like, oh, I'm going to check on Daredevil and Moon Knight, even though I don't buy those because this is my cross. Like, I'm reading the Spider-Man crossover, and it touches those guys. So let me check on those guys. That's neat.
Yeah.
But when I'm trying to read the story of Spider-Man, I don't want to. I don't care what happened to Moon Knight for two issues. Like, that doesn't. I right. don't care.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is. It's hard now. The way they've done their storytelling, they've really kind of woven it all together. You get the little editor's boxes. This mm-hmm. happened in Amazing Spider-Man 502. And you're like, right. oh, well, great. Now I got to. Yeah, it is. It's hard, but I don't think it is anything bad. I think there are the books. I think that a lot of the indie books should take advantage of it. Like, I think it's a great thing because, like, stories like Invincible and Walking Dead, they just tell this great chronological story from start to finish, and people buy it and eat it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, also it doesn't help, you know, it helps that they both have like TV shows too. Yeah,
that informs more people that they exist.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, right. But it also has been great that anytime you tell someone about Invincible or Walking Dead, they kind of want to read it already when you tell them the story. Yeah, it's about this young kid who finds out he's basically Superman's son.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, also, that's kinda cool.
Have you read Saga?
I did, and I loved it. And then he took that break, and I thought yeah. the break was the worst thing that it he could have possibly done.
Feel the momentum a little bit, yeah.
I do think so, because it's back now and you just don't feel it. Like, when it was out, like, you felt it every month when Saga came out. And you yeah. don't, it happened now that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody can check out your book at Gumroad. We're going to leave a link at the end of the episode.
And it's set to pay as you want. It's not a money grab. We did work hard on it, so... You know,
you can pay whatever you want,
But it's really more importantly that people check it out, and
if you like it, share it with people. Yeah,
please do. And the reason I use Gumroad is it's collecting the email addresses. I want to be able to reach out to you the next time I have a project, and I want to say, hey, you liked this last one,
mm-hmm.
check this one out.
Yeah, I think you got a lot of downloads so far from what I saw.
Yeah, we're doing okay. We're at 74 now. It's not 1,000, but we're doing good, and I'm happy with that. I think we're doing. I'm glad every day we're getting more and more. We'll get to 1,000 eventually. That's my goal. I don't know why I have 1,000 in my head. I just picked a number that felt impossible.
Well, you go for one goal, and then you once you reach that goal, you go for like maybe 10,000 after that.
That's right. We'll start the quest over.
Yeah. So after this, after these issues, do you have more stories planned in this universe?
I do. I have another story I want to do with these characters. Another 3 issues for sure, at least. I have a funny story with them I want to tell. And I think it'll. It feels like it could go on forever because like it's very kind of the formula for it feels very much like a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as long as I keep coming up with fun ideas and people are enjoying it, I can come back to it once or twice a year, I think forever.
Yeah, that's cool. The only hard part is get the, you know, you got to wait for the artist to finish.
I write a script and I'm like, this is great. And then I send it off. And then I get like 1 or 2 pages at a time, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. But I'm like, where's the next? Oh, that's it. I just have the 2 pages. I know.
That's the hard part, because one time I had a project, and the artist is like giving me like 1 page every 2 months. I'm like, oh, God. This is gonna take forever.
We're never going to be done with it. And at that point, what do you, because like it's hard to get emotionally invested, right? Like these are like girlfriends, right? Like we get into it, we care, yeah. And then you're waiting forever to get the book in. And you're like, oh my goodness.
It's like the longest giving birth ever.
That's funny. That's true. It is true. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know how you feel, brother. All right. I know.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's try to get everybody to sample this out, and hopefully you'll reach your goal and beyond.
There you go. That's what we'd like to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hope everyone checks it out. I do hope they enjoy it. I hope everyone gives it a chance to get into it and read it and you know, reach out to me. Tell me what you think. I'm pretty reachable. I think at the very least on Gumroad, you can leave me a message if you don't have any of my social medias. But I'm Corey DLG everywhere. So, yeah, you know, just reach out to me. And I do want to thank you for the time today and also thank everybody for checking it out and reading it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, good luck. Right?
Yeah, I appreciate it. And you have a good one, man.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. That's it. Not bad. This wasn't live, so I always pre-record everything. So I'll tell you when I release it. It might not be this week. It might be like maybe a couple of weeks from now. Okay.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Because it was kind of like spur of the moment when I contacted you. I already had like
episodes
already planned out, ready to go. So.
Well, you bump those sons of bitches.
No, I think some of those are time sensitive. I have a Kickstarter guy that's gonna come out next week.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you gotta get those in.
Yeah. But yeah. Right, anything helps, right?
Yeah, always. Yeah, absolutely. I'll never turn down a chance to talk to people.
Yeah, and I downloaded the book and I've been reading it, so far, so good. Only got first couple of issues, but I'm gonna get there.
Good, man. I hope you like it, and feel free to let me know, and feel free to tell people what you think.
Yeah, I mean the only downside is like the art.
Yeah,
is so different towards the end.
I really like Miguel's style, and if I had a time machine, and I probably would have used him for all four if I'd have known he was. Existed and wanted to do it. And basically what happened is after that second issue, so it's a different artist on the first one, it's a different artist on the second one, and I just wanted to move faster than he did. And so I was like, let me find another artist. And so I was looking for more art, and I found Miguel, and he's like, yeah, I'm in. And so it looks great. I do kind of like, I would like it to all be in the same style, but that's probably the only wish, but that's what happens when you're learning, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
It is what it is.
I had a book. I had a book that I had the same problem with because I loved the first artist I had, but he was so slow. So I had another artist work on the other issues in the meantime, you know, cause I wanted to get it out faster.
Yeah. It's, everyone's got their own process, right? And so, like, you know, like, I like Dan Garcia's work a lot. But if I had known timeline what it was going to be like in the beginning, I probably wouldn't have said yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Timing is a big part of all of it, right?
Yeah.
Because you, once I write the story and once I give it to the artist, I'm done, or kind of. Like, all I can do is talk to them about it.
I don't know if you have this experience, but I find, like, a lot of artists are very flaky.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've had my share of yes, yes, yes. And then I try to really go through a portfolio and look for certain things before I say yes to an artist because of that. So I always try and look for, like, two or three or four sequential pages in the same story.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, I generally like to have them, if they've if I can talk to somebody they've worked with, that's
right.
always enough.
Right.
Because yeah, I've had that experience where like somebody's just more interesting in DMA. The artist is Ulysses. He's been on all three issues.
Mm-hmm.
When I first met him, there was an agency that he was working through.
Okay.
And the agency, I guess, wasn't giving him all of his money or whatever. I don't know.
No. Okay. Was he like overseas?
Yeah, he's Brazilian.
Yeah, that's I find that happens a lot with foreign artists.
So when I got ready for issue two, I was like, hey, are you ready to go? And he was like, yeah, but I need you to pay me more money. And when he told me what he needed per page, that was less than I was already paying.
Right. That's yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Oh yeah. And I didn't want to, whatever that I said, but if I do this, I'm just going to work with you now. I'm not going to go through the agency. And he goes, that's fine. Well, then like two or three pages in, the agency got mad at him because I guess he turned down other work from them and said he's already working.
Mm-hmm.
The agency got mad at him. And then the agency reached out to me to try to make me like go through them again.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, he's happy. I'm happy. I don't like y'all situation is your own situation, but it got messy. It got a little messy there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the water you got to tread in.
It is. There's a lot of sharks out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's always better when you go directly to the artist. I don't trust these little agencies out there. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really uncomfortable with it. Like, it was a girl, a woman, and I remember telling her kind of towards the beginning, I was like, listen, I'll pay you after I approve and have the pages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying anybody up front because you're not the artist and you're taking the money. Like, this is already
right.
uncomfortable. So I need to have everything. They're like, oh, well, we won't give you the pages until you pay us. I said, no. And so that was how we did the whole first issue is they would give me everything, like four different file formats and right. all of that.
Yeah.
And then I would pay them for it because I was like, I'm not going to get stuck. Hey, I paid yeah. person A and person B has the files and blah, right. blah, you know. Like,
what I used to do like five pages at a time. You give me five pages, I okay it, then I pay you, and then we can go again another five pages.
Yeah, that's generally how it's been with Ulysses, just personally, he and I. Every once in a while, he gets a little eager where he'll just show me some pages.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, okay, just pay me for these. And I was like, hey, man, like, whoa, I got to check the script. I got to make sure everything flows. I got to make sure it's right.
Right.
Give me like 2 or 3 days and I'll get back to you. But like, sometimes he's like, where's the, and I'm like, no. Wait, we got to check it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was great talking to you. Thank you again. And, you know, good luck, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. I appreciate the interview. It was great.